welcome to the True Talk Cafe podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited you're here. Our podcast will tackle a myriad of topics, ranging from relationships to personal development and everything in between. My name is Renee Stewart, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Anna Garcia, Carla DeCore, and Lolly Ramirez-Bennett. Collectively, we span four generations. Can you believe that? We've all experienced ups and downs in our personal lives and professional careers that have qualified us to share our unique perspectives with you, and we're excited to do so. But before we get into today's content, I wanted to let you know where you can find us on social media. On Instagram and Facebook, you can use @TrueTalkCafe, and on Twitter, you can use @TrueTalkCafe1. Don't forget to like us, rate us, and leave a review. We value your feedback. We want to ensure that we are providing content that resonates with you. So please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you listen to your podcast. Spoiler alert, you will want to stay tuned to hear what our guests are going to share about this exciting topic today. Also, stick around to find out how you can join us on a live show. We would love to have you join us on one of our episodes. Now, let's get started. So today, we're going to start out with a question. Are you stressed out at work? Everyone who has ever held a job has at some point felt the pressure of work-related stress. Any job can have stressful elements, even if you love what you do. So in today's episode called Managing Stress to Achieve Success, we're going to discuss how stress impacts workplace performance and provide some strategies to manage it. Lolly, can you start us off by defining stress for us?
Absolutely, Renee. So what is stress? I mean, I think we've been affected by it, right? Stress involves changes affecting nearly every system of the body, influencing how people can feel and even behave. Stress is not either good or bad. It's really, it's how you manage it to your benefit. I think that key right there is very important, because sometimes we can let it get the best of us, but sometimes a little bit of stress is also a great motivator to keep going, right? So it's really about how you manage that. To help us dig into this conversation a little bit deeper, we have invited our guest, Jonte Reese, who was named Director of Culture and Engagement at Golden Pass LNG in November 2023. In her role, Jonte maintains responsibility for promoting organizational culture, increasing employee engagement, and ensuring compliance with HR policies. Previously, she served as a Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and Assistant General Counsel at Golden Pass as well. Prior to joining Golden Pass in 2021, she worked at ExxonMobil Corporation in the law department for 13 years. Jonte graduated summa cum laude from Clark Atlanta University with a BA in psychology in 2002, and she received her JD from the University of Houston Law Center in 2005. She is a member of Alpha Sorority, Inc., and is in the Missouri City Sugarland chapter of the Jack and Jill of America, Inc. Jonte, welcome, and thank you for joining us for this conversation today.
Thank you, ladies, for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Anna, I think you have the first question for our guest today.
I do. And let me just say, when we talk about stress, I can honestly say I resemble that. You know, it has happened multiple times a day at times. And if you're married and have children, you know, it happens that many times too, because, you know, a husband isn't. But, you know, about what causes stress. Tell me, Jonte, what are the common sources of stress in professional settings, and how can individuals effectively manage them to maintain productivity and that well-being that we all seek?
Mm-hmm. Very good question. And I know you wanted, your question is about the workplace. And one of the things that I think leads to stress in the workplace sometimes is people bringing their stressors from home into the workplace, and it may reflect itself in different ways. It could be not being able to focus on the workload that you have because there's too much and you don't know how to prioritize it and figure out what to do first. It could be the people element, which I think is a huge area of stress that people don't quite think about all the time and not necessarily difficult people in the workplace, because we definitely can experience those. But even just figuring out how to communicate with one another, understanding each other's communication styles, that can sometimes lead to, you know, just misunderstanding of who's responsible for what, or, you know, who's got the ball on this, and that can create stressors and recycle of work that can be a concern. And then also, I think just trying to deal with balancing, again, going back to the personal, there are times where if you have children, they may have an event that you're wanting to attend that may occur during the workday, and you're trying to figure out how to balance that. And it's stressful because they want you to be there, or you're wanting to be there, and you're trying to figure out how to navigate scheduling challenges with that, and not letting your employer know that you're not necessarily deprioritizing what they have, but you're also equally trying to prioritize your family as well. So I think those three things, right? Workload, managing, you know, people in the workplace and those dynamics, and then also just trying to figure out that work-life balance when there may be a conflict.
Thank you. You know, as again, a mother and I was raising three kids, and my kids are literally months apart. They're all 23, 24, 25 right now. But I do recall sometimes feeling like a little overwhelmed and that stress, and then trying to prioritize. I will say, I did always prioritize my family. And I've always actually said all my stress came from the workplace. And I think it was those interactions that you mentioned and that you touched, you know, a little bit on it. I know one of the things is maintaining the productivity, right? When you think about some of the, what we shared, it sounds like there's some strategies in there for well-being. What are some of the strategies for the productivity portion?
Yeah, I think strategies for productivity that work for me is truly being organized. I am the type of person that likes to write out everything that I have going on. And so each day I print out a calendar for what I have for the next day, so I know what's there. And then I keep a running tab of the things that I have to deliver and the deliverables for that. That has helped kind of keep me productive when I see what's in front of me and I know how to plan for that. Another thing too is just figuring out what motivates you to get you into productivity mode. For some people, like for me, after 4 o'clock, no matter what's going on, I could have gotten a lot of sleep. I could have had the best day. I shut off, like my brain, for whatever reason, has to pivot to something else, and then I can come back to it. So I know that about myself. So it's knowing, you know, what works best for you. And I can come back home and at 6:30, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I can get back to it and get 2 or 3 more hours in. But if I try to power through at 4, until 6 or 6:30, for me personally, that just does not work as well. So I think it's knowing yourself and knowing what your motivators are, or how you work, and when you hit your breaking points. When you realize that and develop a strategy that works for you, that will lead to more productivity. One other thing I will say too is saying no and recognizing your capacity, right? That's another way that I think people can be productive is, I cannot take that on right now, right? Because that, if you don't have the bandwidth for it, either from a resourcing standpoint or just a time standpoint, or even a capability, it's like, that's outside of my area of experience or expertise. It's going to take me 5 months to do what you're needing me to do in 1 month. I think being honest and having those conversations is really important, because you will be less productive if you take on too much and don't say anything and try to get it done. You'll get overwhelmed and you won't advance what you think you can advance.
I just have a follow-up question to that. And this is Carla. How would you, I guess, advise someone within your group, maybe someone that reports directly to you, to be more mindful on how they are organizing their activities? Because a lot of times, I know I've been guilty of that we feel that, yes, I can take it and I can do more, but not realizing that, you know, it's stressing you, and that's having an impact, a negative impact in other things, sometimes even at home. But sometimes it's difficult for us to realize that. And by the time we realize it, it's a little bit too late, because you're already like super stressed, right? But what recommendations will you give to someone to catch it before it's too late.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because with the direct reports I've had, I've noticed that we have different styles, right? And different things that work for us. One, my direct reports gets to work really, really early and likes to stay a little bit later. And I've noticed that one of the things that she does extremely well is engages with people. And then there's other things on her desk that are less exciting to work on. And so I've said, hey, I've noticed this. How can I help you navigate that, right? I think it's having open conversations and being honest about the things that you see, and in a respectful way, right? That she's amazing. But it's like, I identify that you have a huge strength in this one area, but here's another area for opportunity, right, to grow. And how can I help you do that? How can it be just as exciting as the employee engagement side of things? And so I think having those conversations to help understand what motivates them, again, is helpful to giving them strategies. And so one thing I've said to this person in particular is, hey, if you need to meet with me to talk through some of these things, like, just break it out in chunks, and then we can have, you know, 30-minute meetings to talk about it and advance it. And so that's an engagement that we have. That's a touch point that we have. And that's been really helpful for her. And she appreciates the time because she's just really good with people and like that base time. And so that's one of the things that I've done.
Jonte, I really like that. I think I find that having an accountability partner, be it a manager that you follow up with on some of those things, or one of your besties who keeps you on track with certain things, certainly helps. And it's a good way to just make sure that you follow up and take care of those things that you don't necessarily want to do, but need to do, right? So that it doesn't become such a huge issue.
And one question I also ask is there a barrier that you need help with removing, right? Is there either a person or a resource constraint or a time, issue that I can help you navigate? And the other thing is just truly motivation. I think people, when they're at work, they don't want it to feel like work. They want to be passionate and motivated around it. And so trying to tap into that and see how you can, give more assignments that do play to those strengths, or really give, like you said, the strategies to help with that and be an accountability partner for them is helpful. Did that answer your question?
Okay. Yes, it did. Definitely. I'm just thinking about so many different ones that I run into, right? Because I do have attention deficit problems. And so I tend to be that kind of butterfly throughout the day. And then getting, down to certain hours where I really find myself and I'm in the zone and I can get just stuff so much out easily rather than putting it through the day. Of course, it takes a lot more time. I don't have the children, so it makes it a little bit easier for me. But you do have to find the right time and what works for you. And now that I'm a little bit retired, I'll say, I know that I don't like to work as late as I used to. So now I have to be a little bit more focused so I can avoid having to do that. So
yeah,
it works. Definitely. Carla, do you have the next question for us?
Yes. And I think she kind of answered already. So it was, specifically to the techniques that she uses, a daily routine for work. But I think all of this is definitely great information, Renee.
Yeah. My question is, how does a healthy work-life balance contribute to long-term success and career satisfaction, as well as what are some actionable steps for achieving this balance? Because we know it's tricky.
Yeah. I think contributing to the long-term success is that it helps avoid the burnout. When you're burnt out, when you're just overworked or spent and you don't have a good outlet, it leads to negative productivity. It leads to, just a lack of motivation and really just kind of banging your head against the wall, right? And I think creating a healthy work-life balance looks and feels different for everybody because we all have different things going on personally. It may not be having children, Lolly, but it may be tending to your elderly parent or trying to help your friends navigate things. It could be managing both. And so I think that you've got to figure out a way to have healthy boundaries, set boundaries on cutting off when you're stopping your work, like after 4 o'clock, between this time and this hour, I can't do it. That helps so that you don't have that burnout and that you can be present for the other things that you're needed for. And I think that tends to longevity, you know, leads to longevity in the workplace. I think also the second part of your question, can you repeat that, Renee? I want to make sure.
Yeah. It was, what are some actionable steps for achieving this type of work-life balance?
Yeah. I think for me personally, it's really understanding what helps you relieve stress. So for me, I think talking to my friends and my husband is critical for me. I'm very emotive, so I have to get things out first. And then once they're out, I'm good. So that helps me relieve stress. The other thing for me is getting massages. That is something that I've done for 20 years, partially because of a physical ailment that I've had, but I have a tendency to carry my stress here. And when I go and get those massages, it is like, I feel like a brand new person. And I feel like I'm much more, you know, eager to kind of hit the ground running and do the things that I need to do. So I feel it physically myself. And right now, last week, I had to go get one because I said, hey, I feel this and I'm tense. And I had a very difficult conversation with someone last week. And I was like, you know what? Let me call. Let me schedule this. And so that helps me. And then also I take, and I've encouraged, you know, other employees to say, I need a mental health day, or I just need a day. And whether that's you're working from home, I'm fine with that. You know, if you need to just work from home because sitting in traffic for 2 hours on your, you know, round trip commute is not helping your stress level, then I encourage that. If it's taking off a half day or a whole day just to do nothing, to binge a show you want to watch or to go to the beach or do something, I really encourage people to find what they like and to do that and to find an hour or two a week or a month to do those things.
Yeah.
I tell you, you know that commercial with you're not yourself, eat a Snickers bar?
Yeah.
If I'm stressed, he's like, go get a massage.
Yes.
Yes. Massage is my Snickers bar. And I've gone through a career transition over the past year, and I love waking up without that weight on my shoulders, without that pain. I also hold it there. So it was very relatable when you were sharing, you know, and I'm doing different type of work now, and I do feel that difference. And so sometimes it's just sitting there and analyzing.
Yeah.
What am I meant to do for the rest of my life? And is that how we can get the balance that I need or don't need? But I love the actionable, you know, steps that you share that you do for yourself. You know, I think a lot of us can either take away some of our own mental notes of what we do and how we find our own balance. And, you know, it's not really balance. It's the right integration of everything. There's no such thing as balance, I don't think.
Yeah.
The right integration of everything that we have, of all our hats, wearing all our hats, wearing them proudly and wearing them nicely where they go with the outfit we want for the day, right? So I love that. And you probably saw me smiling when you were talking because I was like, the massage thing. Then his religion says, when you get a massage, I know I'm acting stressed.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I like how you said the integration because I agree with you. The balance is not always balanced. It's not like it's 50-50. Sometimes it's more work than personal. Sometimes it's more personal than work. And I think being okay with that, and in some seasons, it's way off, right? And in other seasons, it's much better. And so I really like, too, Anna, what you said about really reassessing on whatever frequency that is for you, whether the beginning of the year or the middle of the year or every 2 years or every day, like I've done sometimes, is evaluating, like, what do I want to do with my life? And what does that look like? And try to plan for that and not let anybody shoot that idea down if you really feel like, hey, I need to pivot and do something different that better aligns with the balance that I'm, or the integration that I'm looking for today, I encourage that. It actually wrote a list today of like, what do I want to do? So.
Yeah, I like that. Just to add to that, Anne and I go through the same coaching program and they talk about core dynamics and there's different influencers. And we don't really realize that. And there's, you know, there's spiritual, there's, you know, mental, emotional, physical, social, environmental, right? So you can have everything working for you, but if you're in an environment where there's construction going on above you, which I've had, it stresses you out in a different way.
It
really, really does. So just kind of paying attention to those types of influencers and how it is affecting you. Because like you said, you may have stress because you're not doing work that serves your purpose or is in line, you know, with your values. That creates stress.
Absolutely.
And it's just making yourself aware and to really kind of look at things, because it's not always, oh, this person is bothering me. Why is that person bothering you? And what are you going to do with it? You know what I mean? Because there's things that you can do. You can remove yourself from it. You can look at it from a different perspective and understand how you want to experience it. Because that makes a big difference. And I have done that as of late. I've decided on how I'm going to experience, you know, a certain change. And that has brought peace to me, where before I was a little stressed.
I love that.
Yeah.
Really good.
You know, you made me think of another question here. You know, when you think about stress, do you think there's some validity as to a lot of the stress we place it upon ourselves? It's not even expectations, real expectation. It's not written anywhere. A lot of it is just what we expect of ourselves and what we believe others expect of ourselves.
Yes, I absolutely think that one of the things I have recently been saying to myself is that I'm the only person that's with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so if it doesn't serve me, I really need to think about what I'm doing and who is it serving, right? Am I doing it because I want people to see that I'm doing all of these things? Is it that I'm actually getting personal satisfaction out of these things? Or is it something else? You know, sometimes you see your peers, your colleagues, your friends doing all of these things and you're like, oh, I guess I need to be doing all of these things. And so sometimes it's not other people putting stuff on you. It's you feeling obligated or, you know, it's some sort of contest or it's some sort of like, oh, I've got to be superwoman. And I was thinking about all of the things that I have committed to. And I came to the realization in talking to a couple of my friends and my mom, it's like, you always are just a natural helper. It's not that I'm wanting an accolade or wanting something, but they're like, you never say no. You always try to figure out how to help somebody and you're very solution oriented. Like you want to help them solve the problem. So you need to realize that and say, I can't help everybody. And the person you're with 24/7, are you happy and comfortable with all of the things you have going on? And are those things serving you or are you helping somebody else get what they need and you're not getting what you need? And I think I definitely have fallen into that trap for many, many years. And I'm just now getting to the point of being comfortable saying no, because I do like to help and I don't want to let people down, but it's a burden. It's quite the burden. And definitely we put a lot of it on ourselves unnecessarily.
And I think I'm guilty of that too. One of the things that has helped me, because I try to just say no, but I learned that it makes me more uncomfortable saying no. Mm-hmm. So what I've learned to say is, I can't help you with X, but I can help you with connecting you with someone who can help. So I'm not saying necessarily no, but I'm connecting them with someone, or maybe saying, I can only help you with this small piece.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the rest, you may have to help someone else. So that's kind of how I learned to cope with my inability to say no most of the time. I am putting way too much of my brain and that stresses me for sure.
I do think that when it comes down to it, we are our own worst enemies in terms of expectations, right? That in most cases, nobody's fueling our fire but ourselves. And we're the ones that have these unreal, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. I'm going to go back to that accountability person in your life, be it your spouse, your friend, whoever, that kind of has the okay from you to be able to take a moment and say, hey, stop a second. What is it that you're trying to do and why? Because it, for me, that's been very, very important in this last year of my life as well, going through career transition, helping care for others. And no, there is no real expectations, but those that I set for myself. And I can go off in a crazy fit. And it's like, why? Why? You know? So I think it's important that we keep that in mind and that we say it's okay to recognize that we don't need to do everything 1,000% all the time, even for those people that are recovering overachievers like myself, right? I know that I like to do as much as I can, but I also have to understand that there's an amount of time that we should do, and there's a time and a place for everything. And sometimes it's taking a little bit of a step back, right? And so I think that's very important. The other thing I'm going to add is that I've seen this quite a bit, you know, when it comes to career satisfaction, is also the need to understand that you don't have to compete with the world. You have to compete with who you want to be and what you need from that job. Because I think that, you know, I sometimes think, oh, well, I could have done this, or I could have done that, or I could have done this. And I just stop for a second and say, well, but if I had done those things, probability is I wouldn't have been able to do those other things, right? And so we have to understand, are we getting what we need from the place we're at today? And if the answer is no, then maybe making some adjustments and really thinking about what do you need to do to make that. Understanding that money isn't everything. Yes, we need it to live well. But there is an amazing amount of studies done on how much less people can live on when they're happy. Right? Because if you're unsatisfied and not getting that from your job, you're just coming out and going on shopping bits or spending wherever you can because you're trying to make up for it. So I'm going to go back to I mentioned it and y'all talked about it. That reflection piece is very important. And being true to yourself and saying, hey, maybe it's not. I got to tell you, it's this change that I've had in my life. I stop every once in a while and think, oh my God, how can I, somebody's actually paying me to do what I really enjoy doing, you know? And I was very fortunate. I enjoyed what I did at work. I had a good time there. But I didn't realize life could be this good. And again, I'm no longer fighting to try to reach a level of something that I don't know who is just driving that for us, right? So again, absolutely. I think that self-care, self-evaluation does play a huge part in managing stress and really enhancing how we perform.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything else that we might not have covered that we need to share with folks in terms of how to take care of ourselves better and how to take some action if needed?
No, I think we've covered it, but just, you know, to kind of recap, I think really defining for yourself what your needs are personally and professionally and setting the boundaries that are healthy for you and making sure that you are continually reevaluating, you know, where you are and what is serving you and going for that and implementing tools and strategies to manage your stressors in a way that works best for you, whether it's running, whether it's whatever the thing is that you love to do, implementing that as part of your daily routines.
That's awesome. I'm going to add a second part to that question. As professionals, how can we make sure we prioritize self-care without compromising our responsibilities from a work perspective. Mm-hmm. I think you talked a little bit about the need to go like get a massage or go do some of those things that kind of get you back to where you need to be. But what, anything else in that respect?
I think from company perspectives, there needs to be more intentionality around creating employee wellness programs or well-being programs that are a natural part of the fabric of the company so that it is consistent with just the workplace and the work that needs to be done. I think people need to feel like their company supports and cares for them as individuals. And there are different programs that companies can implement to do just that. And what I think companies need to come to the realization of, those that haven't figured it out yet, is it actually does help their bottom line. And employees will be more productive if their well-being is prioritized. And so there are ways and programs and initiatives that can be launched to do just that.
Can I have a follow-up to that? Because my company actually does have a lot of good stress programs, I guess, or wellness programs, where we actually get 30 minutes, I think it's an hour and a half a week that employees can get off to do wellness. And they also have a wellness day. But the majority of the staff do not use any of their time, or most of their time. How can we do better on motivating employees to actually use all the time that is available?
I use every bit of time that I can. And I know that there are some people that don't. And I think that it's really something that either companies have to force, you know, and people just, again, need to realize, like, being there 80 hours a week is not necessarily reflecting that you're producing quality work. And so, you know, in some ways, I think it needs to be enforced and companies need to make people use it. But I think individuals just need to realize that it does not always equate to you're the most productive or that you're advancing the interests of the company just because you're there all the time.
I definitely agree with that.
I was going to go into the other date. If you have a question, go ahead or feedback.
No, I was just going to say, I think that I spent many years as a productivity manager and efficiency manager. And I know that without question, you could have someone who works 20 hours who can put out as much as someone who's working 40 hours, right? And okay. So there should be a way of being able to encourage people to take that wellness time, maybe making up some fun programs so that maybe, like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're interested in using some of your wellness time, maybe you could join. We have some chess tournaments during the, you know, lunch or something, or maybe it's puzzles mm-hmm. or something. Maybe it's a walk group, but without having to do it as a mandatory, I think mm-hmm. that if you give them some options to try to encourage them to go and do some things, you might end up in a better place.
Yeah.
Some of us probably wouldn't get one. Now I feel like I have an extra stress, right? Because I have to go do something I have to do. But I think that if you give them options on how to go about doing it, then you might be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to add to that, I think, like, after the pandemic, my background is human resources as well, right? Mm-hmm. And after the pandemic, wellness and, you know, employee well-being really came to the forefront, because you had a lot of kind of like mental well-being issues come to the forefront, and, you know, how to take care of those folks. And then looking at it, you know, from a wider lens to try to prevent, you know, some of those issues happening. And I do believe a lot of companies started to look at that and put things in place. I mean, we obviously have to do a better job. One of the things that I require is that people can't work through lunch. They have to take at least a 30-minute lunch and leave their desk for 30 minutes. I mean, they can put their head down or whatever, but they cannot work through lunch, because my region, it's customer service region. So you are on customers all day, either by phone or email, and you could, you know, have some irate customers. And does put stress on you. So you do need that time to step away and kind of regroup and just reset, you know, before you can come back in. But trying to work through lunch so you can leave early on the back end, we don't allow that to happen.
You know, Renee, I think we were on the same wavelength. I was about to say, you know, I think it's also the employer's opportunity to survey and understand why they're not using that time. Maybe there isn't time allotted for it in reality. Because if they step away for those 30 minutes, they're behind 3 hours on their work. So having that, you know, I would say that's where the companies also need to own a responsibility. If you're offering thing, make sure that the employees can take that something, because if you're offering it, but it's not even a realistic, I remember getting emails, you must take your vacation. You must take your vacation. I would take vacation and who's the first person calling me? My supervisor, my director, you know, and telling me that they need this, that. And I'm like, wait for me to take my vacation. I didn't bring my laptop. Sorry. You know, but there was some times and I'm like, okay, let me go log into my laptop. Let me go do the work. I remember working through Christmas Day. So I think that, you know, it's also something that if you're offering it, make sure that it is something that they can be taken. So that would be, I mean, just, you know, when I heard that they're not using it, maybe they can't afford to use it realistically.
It's model. Yeah. You know what I mean? Model it. That would be very helpful.
I agree.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, that brings us a little bit to our statistics. And, you know, Jote, you covered a lot of these things. So stress in the workplace do have significant impacts on the employees and the organizations alike, right? So some of the statistics that I'd like to share with you, it does increase productivity loss. So according to the American Institute of Stress, workplace stress costs U.S. employers approximately $300 billion annually in lost productivity. And that's one of the first things you told us, right? You know, productivity is impacted. Yeah. So we have to, you know, analyze, maybe those breaks should be, you know, offered more often or reminded more often, or like take that break, because the more that they receive, the better productivity that they'll showcase. It also increases absenteeism. So stress is leading cause of absenteeism. The World Health Organization estimates that stress-related absenteeism costs companies an additional $300 billion per year in the United States alone. That's $600 billion we're losing on just not being able to provide for our stressed employees, right? It also increases health costs. You know, yes, we might use massages, but then there was times when I was going to the chiropractor, I was going to the neurologist for the migraine, et cetera, right? Employees experiencing high levels of stress are more likely to have health issues, such as heart disease, obesity, and depression. This can lead to increased healthcare costs for both employees and employers. Let's talk about turnover, right? Stressful work environments contribute to a higher turnover rate. How many times have we heard, you know, I can't keep employees? Well, maybe it's not the employee. It's offering or not offering, right? So according to the American Psychological Association reports that 25% of employees have left the job due to stress, with 46% citing workload as a primary stressor. Again, that workload, you know, do they have time to take that break with that workload? It also has an impact on mental health. And I know that, Renee, you touched on this. Since the pandemic, mental health has been a top priority for many organizations. And stress in the workplace can significantly impact that mental health. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health states that job stress is associated with a range of mental health issues, including anxiety and burnout. And what happens after burnout? Zero productivity, right? Now the person's burnt out completely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it does have an effect on engagement, which we've seen often. High levels of stress can lower employee engagement and morale. The Society for Human Resource Management found that 55% of employees reported feeling less productive at work due to stress. All of these statistics highlight the importance of addressing stress in the workplace. You've heard some real life examples today, but it does include having to do effective management practices, employee support programs, and a healthy work environment. So in order for it to become a true win-win, we need both the employer offering the benefits and the employee taking advantage of those benefits.
So now let's jump into some tips. So some stress tips that we want to share. And you've heard a few of those tips already from our guest speaker today and our podcasters. But managing stress is definitely crucial for achievement success because it allows us to stay focused, productive, and maintain a healthy work-life balance. So some examples of what you can do is something that Gentilic shared, prioritizing tasks. Organizing your tasks based on priority and deadlines, focus on completing high priority tasks first to reduce stress related to time constraints. Time management, that's something else that was mentioned today. And using time management techniques such as Pomodoro technique or time blocking to allocate specific periods for work and breaks. This can improve productivity and reduce work burnout. I know I go find my calendar. So if I want something done, I have to add it on my calendar. And that does help. So even blocking off time for you to go take a walk. I have an employee that actually has different alerts to go just get up and go talk to someone every, 2 hours of the day, just so she can stop and just pause and do something different. Because we do get too focused sometimes, right? Learn to delegate. I know so many people that do not know how to delegate. So don't hesitate to delegate tasks to others that they can handle. And oftentimes it's also appreciated because they want to learn other things. So delegated responsibilities can lighten your workload, reduce stress, and also help others learn how to do something new, perhaps. Practice mindfulness. Incorporate mindfulness practices such as meditation, deep breathing exercises, or yoga into your daily routine. These activities can help reduce stress and improve overall well-being. I know that I've seen some desk yoga videos that you can also do. So even if you don't want to get out of your office, you can do yoga in your office. So something that you can look up. Exercise regularly. Physical activity is certainly a great way to reduce stress and improve the mood. Aim for at least 30 minutes of moderate exercise most days of the week. So even if that means just going to take a walk during your lunchtime, that can definitely help as well. A healthy lifestyle, maintaining a balanced diet, get enough sleep, and avoid excessive consumption of caffeine, alcohol, and tobacco. A healthy lifestyle can help you manage stress more effectively. Then setting realistic goals. Set achievable goals that are specific, measurable, and realistic. Break larger goals into smaller tasks to avoid feeling overwhelmed. So again, don't overdo it, right? If you want to set goals, don't stress yourself by making sure that you stick to those goals. So take it easy on yourself and make sure that if you do set goals, they're larger because you're going from zero to, something, make sure that you break it into smaller goals. Seek support. Don't hesitate to reach out for your support. Of friends, family, and colleagues, talking to someone about your stressors can provide perspective and also emotional relief. You can find accountability partners, someone that can help remind you of things that you need to do during the day, such as getting up, stretching, taking a walk. So find people that can help you stay on task. Learn to say no. We talked about that a lot. I'm still working on that. Learn your limits and don't overcommit yourself. Learn to say no to tasks or responsibilities and will add unnecessary stress. And last but not least, seek professional help. I think most employers offer some type of assistance. EAP is a popular one. So if stress becomes too overwhelming or persistent, consider seeking support for mental health from a professional. They provide strategies and techniques tailored to your specific need. So don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you, Carla. Very good. Stress can be managed, and it can even become positive by addressing, reducing, and removing some of the causes. Establishing boundaries between work and life outside and allowing yourself to recharge.
Yeah, absolutely, Lolly. This conversation was amazing, and I want to say a big thank you to our guest, Jonte Rees, and to all of our listeners for joining the podcast today. Jonte, what social platforms can our listeners connect with you?
I'm on LinkedIn under my name, Jonte Rees. I'm also on Facebook, same name.
Okay, great. And we will add that to our show notes. So if our listeners would like to reach out to you and connect and ask you a few questions, I just want to give a final thought. Stressful experiences are a normal part of life. You know, some stress is positive, but when a stressor is negative and can't be fought off or avoided, our biological responses to stress can impair our physical and mental health. So please, please be mindful of your stressors and practice self-care.
Yep.
That said, we hope you learned something new and or came away with something of value on this topic. As promised, here's how to join us as an audience member on our next show episode. We hope you're just as excited as we are. Go to our True Talk Cafe Facebook page and send us a request to attend Session 3, Episode 5 as an audience member. Be sure to use the hashtag TTCS3EP5. Again, that's TTCS3EP5. We'll respond to your requests with our podcast website link, where you'll need to enter your preferred email address for us to send the audience link. We'll also send all audience members a reminder the day before the show recording. It's going to be so much fun to have you join us live. As always, we welcome your feedback, so please let us know your thoughts about today's show. Leave a comment or review. We will respond to all comments, so please be nice. We'd love to hear your thoughts about today's topic. Please do not forget to like and rate the episode. We appreciate you tuning in to our podcast, and we hope you join the TTC Crew Facebook page. Again, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook using @TrueTalkCafe. Please use the hashtag TTCTalks or TrueTalkTuesdays. Recommendations for discussion topics are always welcome. We want to ensure we are providing content that is of value to you. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Thanks for listening, and we hope you join us on our next podcast episode. It's sure to be an engaging conversation. Talk soon.
Thank you, ladies.